special edition.
Hello and welcome back to Not the Special Edition, episode 37. We're the internet's very own geeky podcast that always used to get picked last by sports teams at school, but picked up by gay sports teachers at school. Can I say that?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Hello,
I'm Miles and I'm here with...
Kit.
Kit, what are we doing this time?
Making up for the horrendous amount of time we've left it since the last podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff to make you feel better.
What Yay!
Cheers you up because of all the dreadful way our country's crumbling around us.
Yeah, cheer up, Britain. All two of you listening.
Yeah, I don't know. By the way, when I use the phrase our country, I don't want anyone to think I've got any sort of nationalist leanings. I hate the idea of geography and borders and all that stuff. Probably could have guessed that about me anyway, because I'm a prick.
Destroy all borders. Except the naturally occurring ones.
Like rivers.
Yeah.
And seas.
We need those. They're crucial. Welcome to the show. Recently seen.
Well, I've got loads, so I've condensed them down to just the ones that I want to talk about most.
Okay.
Because we haven't podcasted for ages, and also, I'm unemployed!
Yay! Oh yeah, remember I used to be unemployed and I had loads.
Yeah, it was.
And you'd have like a film or something. Okay, well go on and you better start.
Okay, I'll start with the thing that I watched most recently actually, which is Batman Ninja.
What?
It's a animated, official Warner Brothers DC release.
Yes.
It's basically a geek's wet dream. It's a Batman story set in feudal Japan.
Oh, okay. Is it on Prime or Netflix or something?
It's on Netflix. I don't know about Prime.
Weird, because Amazon's always had all the Warner Brothers stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was released quite recently. So I think it only had its cinematic release in... Or if it even went to cinemas, but I think it was April this year, so it's pretty bloody new.
Oh, this is exciting. Why am I not watching it?
Yeah, I think you should watch it.
I think I should watch it.
I started off and I was like, I'm not enjoying this. But I always forget when you're watching something on streaming that you can change the subtitles and dubbing, because I was watching it with the English dubbing.
Oh.
And true to form, the English dubbing is terrible. Okay. It's that sort of sweetened... saccharine,
yes.
Overplayed voice thing. And then when I remembered that, I switched it back and to Japanese. Yeah, it just sort of came alive, really. Yeah, I don't want to give too much away about the plot, but basically they, within probably the first 5 or 10 minutes, they kind of, you know, it's kind of like, don't bore us, get straight to the chorus thing. He's in modern times, but they get transported via like a time machine or vortex back in. So it is modern day Batman and some villains, but they're trapped in Japan.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like, I don't know, certain other sort of franchises have just tried to displace the, you know, like the Marvel thing. Is those characters, Marvel 1602, is those characters just as they would have existed in that time?
Yeah.
But this is like, yeah, like I say, time displacement sort of thing.
Oh.
I enjoyed it. I did have certain reservations about it, but I definitely think it's worth checking out.
Okay. Yeah, I think I thought it might be like the Wolverine in Feudal Japan. That's the one everyone wanted. And then they made that into the Wolverine, the film, didn't they? Which was okay. Yeah, Batman kind of fits that, doesn't he? Because that's where he got a lot of his skills and stuff. That's really cool.
Exactly.
I'm excited.
Yeah, there's a few things I liked about it. It had like this nice, the animation, it had a sort of rich colour palette, but it wasn't too bright, which fitted in well with the sort of appropriate for the time period kind of thing. My only reservations about it would be that it's only 85 minutes long, and... Yeah. It's like they've tried to sort of crammed everything they can into this quite a short period of time.
Yeah.
It's sort of like all of the big name criminals are there.
Really?
And I think that they maybe would have benefited from just relying on one or maybe even two. Also, I mean, inevitably Joker ends up as the primary antagonist, which I do find a little bit tiresome. But then again, if you're doing something different with it, maybe it's... And other than that, it was filled with some of the Batman tropes. But it's definitely an enjoyable watch. And like I say, it's just kind of a treat for the eyes. The art style was very pleasing.
Oh, cool. I'm definitely going to check that out. for once. One of your recommendations I'll go with. Actually, yeah, they did a good thing with Batman Telltale series, which I was talked about last time.
Yeah.
Which I completed actually quite a while ago now. It's one of those choose your own adventure game type games. That's what Telltale did. That's their shtick. It was their shtick. They're now dead in the water, unfortunately. But yeah, the Joker was only a very minor character in that, possibly to come back in the future. Now, obviously, cancelled sequel. But I like what they did with him there. It was just a character. You knew the backstory. Batman didn't really know him. It was exciting, that. But yeah, he doesn't always need to be the villain, does he?
No.
It's like having the Daleks every week in Doctor Who. Doesn't need to be done. Fuck, I'm so hot.
It is very hot.
It's really hot in there. Should we make love?
No, I believe I'll get even warmer. I will say one thing. If you thought the third act of Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice was outrageous, wait till you see this.
Oh, really?
But in it, kind of, this
the cartoon,
this weirdly works better than, well, I say weirdly, I mean, it wouldn't be difficult, but yeah, you'll see what I mean if you watch it. But no, it was good
with the audio. Well, sorry, yeah, with the English dub, who voices Batman and all that? It's not Kevin Conroy.
No, it's not those guys.
Cross.
Yeah, and I can't remember if I recognised any of the names.
Okay, I don't know. Actually, because you said that, I'm going to go on to one that you recommended.
Oh, yeah?
I only watched it. Was it last night or the night before? No, it's the night before. Doesn't matter when I watch it. Why is the timing of the viewing so important? I recently watched Arrival.
Good morning. Today we are talking about romance languages. Any news you want to share?
8 hours after landing, there's still no signs of first contact. The objects measure at least 1,500 feet tall.
Mama, what's going to happen?
I don't know.
Oh, really?
You wrote that thing on Facebook.
Yeah.
And we tried to watch it before, and we'd only got for the first, like, the prologue, if you like, the 5 minutes singing. And my wife was very much like, oh, no, I can't watch this, because it involves, it's no spoiler to say at the beginning, there's a dead child, isn't there?
Yes.
That's the setup, so that's not a spoiler. Yeah, it's bloody good, isn't it?
I thought it was excellent.
Really, very, very good. I love the sort of almost documentary feel of the action. It's very strange for me and you to like the same film, because you like long-paced storytelling where not much happens.
Yeah.
For once, it actually worked for me. I thought The Fantastic was presented just absolutely brilliantly. And is it Amy Adams or Amy McAdams?
Amy Adams.
Amy Adams, yeah. I thought she was terrific in it. I really enjoyed that. And I love the aliens.
Yeah.
They're sort of like hand tree octopus things or whatever they are.
Yeah. I'm so glad you liked it.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Very, very moving at the end as well.
Yeah. I just thought it was so good because they could so easily have gone down a sort of Independence Day style route with it. And to reject that was, yeah, very brave. And
it was positive.
Kind of, yeah. It was watching that film that made me feel kind of confident going into Blade Runner 2049.
Which I'm now going to watch with that confidence in mind. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was always a little bit dubious. Holy shit, I'm hot. It's so
very,
hot.
Very, very hot, yeah. I watched Chronicle.
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 Chronicle. What's Chronicle?
Chronicle.
I recognise the name, I don't know what it is.
Chronicle is it is a superhero film. It's a sort of found footage film from 2012, directed by Josh Trank, who I didn't know who he was at the time, but it's written by Max Landis, who...
Josh Trank rings a
he
huge
did
a,
he
bell.
Did one of the Fantastic Four.
Oh dear, I'm sorry
films.
About that. Okay.
But anyway, this film's good.
Yeah.
Really good. Yeah, it's a mixture of sort of, like I say, superhero slash coming of age slash, well, not slash fan footage, the style is fan footage. It's a group of teenagers, I presume they're in high school, I don't know how the American system works, but...
No.
I guess the main guy in the story is, you know, sort of geeky outcast. But actually what's quite nice about it is that it's not a group of geeky outcasts. Mm. There's one guy who is that, one guy who's his cousin who reluctantly hangs out with him, and the other guy in their set is actually the popular guy from school. So
okay.
It kind of plays that around. Anyway, they find this glowing stone in a cave, and it gives them superpowers. On a very low level at first, but they learn to sort of hone them and get more and more powerful.
Right.
And it's what they... It is, I guess it's kind of in the territory almost of kind of magical realism, in that that's the only thing in the story that is fantastic.
Okay.
And it's how they, you know, choose to use their powers, what they do with them.
Mm-hmm.
Very good, strong storytelling, I thought, actually. It didn't... Again, it you know, go down some sort of stereotypical route that it could have done. Yeah. It wasn't overly long. I think it's about 95 minutes long, something like that.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Yeah. And if, for anyone who's interested in the sort of superhero model, it's definitely worth checking out because it's something a little bit different.
And anyone else that Fantastic Four, which was just horrendous, apparently. I've not seen it.
I've not seen it, no. To be honest, I actually, for ages, I actually thought that this film was directed by Matt Swab. It was that he wrote it, but I'm not sure I should be going on about him particularly. But anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway. Mm. Judging the film on its merits.
Yeah, why
and
not?
All that. Yeah, worth a watch. I think you might enjoy it.
Okay, thanks. I watched First Man.
Oh, okay.
And Arrival was the film I really wanted it to be.
Oh.
To be honest.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't like it. I can recognise, objectively speaking, it is very good filmmaking.
Mm.
Which sounds ridiculously pat and condescending. But I just mean that I can see how fantastically well put together the film is. I can appreciate the beautiful, it's a sort of muted sort of autumnal colour palette to it. And it makes space travel look terrifying, and which I suppose it is really. But my main problem with it, and I'm very sorry to say this, is Ryan Gosling.
Oh,
your
no.
Your boyfriend. Yeah. Well, he's playing it exactly as director, which is this sort of emotional cold fish.
Yeah.
But that's the heart of the movie, really, is you've got 2.5 hours to discover that Neil Armstrong was something of a detached human being from humanity. However, he was this great scientist. I just didn't need the whole film to tell me that. But the first third, I've got to say, is fantastic. It's superbly told. It's all visual. There's barely any dialogue in it at all. And it's real properly visual. Are you worried the cat's going to get your Tom?
No, it's only because of what your wife said earlier.
Yeah.
No, sorry. I wasn't meaning to be...
That's all right. I don't mind. She's a bastard. She will claw your clothes to pieces.
It's
cat,
fine.
Don't do that.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's a nice top. Leave it alone. Anyway, so yeah, the first third's told very visually. It's wonderful cinematic storytelling. It just goes on for too bloody long. I was just completely disconnected and detached by the sort of first third. And I didn't really buy the final scene, which you're supposed to really invest in emotionally.
Mm.
Didn't work for me. And, I'm a big crier, and I'm very emotional when it comes to sweat. Anyway, I can cry over fucking Pampers adverts, you know. But I didn't feel anything with this. Yeah, it's something I can see... Reluctantly is really good, but I didn't feel it.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, First Man.
How?
Better luck next time. You'll probably win all the Oscars now.
What was the runtime of it?
2.5 hours.
Okay.
It's too long.
Yeah.
That's all modern films. I'm sorry. I need some shorter film. Actually, a simple favour, which I'm going to very quickly mention.
Yeah.
Paul Feige film, who he did Bridesmaids and Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
And some other films. This is bizarre. Like, it's well documented amongst all the reviews, the tone of it changes all over the place. It's a sort of murder mystery comedy, but also a noir. It's very,
okay.
Yeah. It's a sort of comedy. It's a murder mystery noir comedy. Well, it's absurd and over the top 1 minute, and then actually quite threatening and serious the next.
So
I don't know what to do with it.
I missed what you said it was called.
A Simple Favour.
Okay.
Yes. But I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
When it's funny, it's really funny. When it's shocking, it's really shocking. It's just none of these things actually gelled together whatsoever. But I didn't care because I enjoyed the time I spent with it. And Anna Kendrick is brilliant. So, Simple Favour, good fun. But yeah, nice and short as well.
Okay.
Handy. Do your one. I'm too hot to speak.
I know. It's cloying,
melting.
Isn't it? Yeah. I watched The Double.
I'd like to introduce everyone to our newest co-worker. Please welcome... James Simon.
Have you spoken to the new employee?
James? Yeah, sure, I met him.
But did you notice anything strange about him? I mean, did he remind you of anyone?
Who did you have in mind?
What'll it be?
I'll just have a Coke.
A Coke. And you?
Scrambled eggs.
I don't serve breakfast in the evening.
Well, do you still have eggs here?
Yeah.
And do you have a frying pan?
Yeah.
Then give me the damn food.
Which is a few years old now. 2013. Mm-hmm. Directed by Richard Ayoade, starring Jesse Eisenberg, as Simon James. Works for this organisation, you can't work out what it is. He's sort of like the downtrodden person, he's hopeless with women, he's like bossing his colleagues, like either ignore him or don't know who he is, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I saw the trailer. I like Richard Ayoade, so I don't know why I haven't seen this yet.
Is it on Flix?
Have you seen Submarine?
Oh yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is very different in style, but it does share a sort of common, I guess, that sort of The Outsider. This, no, I take this off the telly. It's not on Netflix.
Okay. Oh, fuck so, me.
But you, I'm sure you can find it somewhere. It's 5 years old. yeah, so he, and basically he's present, this character Simon James is presented with an usurper called James Simon, also played by Jesse Eisenberg.
Oh, okay, right.
And he's the sort of polar opposite of this guy. Mm-hmm. He is charismatic, confident. His colleagues love him. He's getting promotions. He starts going out with the girl that the original character fancies, that sort of thing. And essentially, he is. It looks like he's attempting to replace him in his life's position. And it's sort of like, where has he come from? It's shot again, very much in a noir style. It's brilliant. It's fantastic. Again, 90 minutes long.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Oh, good. It sounds like a modern update of the Roger Moore film, The Man Who Haunted Himself. I mean, it's not.
I don't know anything about that film, so I can't tell you.
I know it's Roger Moore's favourite part he ever played.
Oh, right, okay.
Or the one of which he is most proud. I think his favourite part would definitely be James Bond. That's the one that got him all the money. But, you know, the performance of which he was most proud is Man Who Haunted Himself. I've never seen it. I've got the Blu-ray, had the Blu-ray for about 2 years. Still haven't watched it. I'll do it one day, Rog. Promise.
Hello, Alan.
We had him on the show. Halloween.
Oh, okay.
Boop, 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 boop. You know how Halloween goes. Yeah, the sort of redux. Well, it's a sequel to the original.
Right.
But not Halloween 2, which was an original sequel to the original.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or Halloween H2O, which was a sequel to Halloween and Halloween 2. It's the most convoluted timeline of any film
this
series.
This sounds like when you went off on one about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, well, they're all completely separate sequels that are more or less the same now for all the Halloween films. Halloween 2018 is a sequel to Halloween 1978.
Right.
With the same name.
Okay.
Bizarre. Anyway, the headline bullet point is that it's fantastic. Really enjoyable, solidly made, just absolute fun from start to finish. And not necessarily scary, but certainly jumpy and full of menace and threatening and so many glorious callbacks to the original, but ones that don't serve to undermine the plot that's there. It's just there if you're a fan, if you know those shots, if you know those sort of references, you
right.
can take that enjoyment from it, but it doesn't spoil the rest of the movie soup that is Halloween. I really enjoyed it. Wasn't quite so on board with Jamie Lee Curtis's attitude in the film. I thought it was a little bit over the top. Not Jamie Lee Curtis herself playing the role. I think she did fantastically, as Jamie Lee Curtis always does. I just think that they took a certain aspect of her survival instincts from the original and ran a bit too far with it, but you know, hey, I'm not complaining. It was great watching in the cinema because A, it was huge and brilliant, and I was sat in rows and rows of girls jumping out of their seats. Fantastic. Really, really made the film. So yeah, hooray. It's one of those things where I don't want a sequel though, because I'd like it now to just finish and end where it is, and it'd be a nice little bow on the series as a whole. But of course they're never going to do that because they're just going to make more money. Yeah. And I think, well, there are ways of having a sequel with Michael Myers in.
Okay.
They could always go the anthology route and just do Halloween 2 with a completely different thing like they did for Season of the Witch back in 1983 or whatever it was. They won't do that because that's not the money-making. If you see a Halloween film, you expect to see the guy in the mask. They even had callbacks to Halloween 3 Season of the Witch, which is non-canonical. Well, none of them are non-canonical now because it's only a sequel to the original. I'm talking too fast. I really enjoyed it though. It's such fun. It's just good to have a good, honest slasher out there which isn't mean-spirited, unlike the Rob Zombie films or, you know, Saw, and just provides popcorn thrills. A bit like, you know, the Final Destination films or the Friday the 13th films, where there's menace but not malice. There you go. Stick that on the poster.
I'm very pleased for you because I know you love horror, and it seems like every horror film you've reviewed for the last year you've been disappointed by. There's a few things like that. So I watched, obviously this is yonks old now, but...
You're bringing yonks back?
Yeah.
Why not?
It was the first time I'd ever watched it. I watched the film Seven, David Fincher's.
You've never seen that before?
No, I'd never seen it before.
Ooh, what's in the box?
Exactly.
What's in the box?
Yeah. And I...
Is that a puppy?
Found it. No, it's not a puppy.
If only it was. Yeah. I knew what was coming with that. Yeah. Which I think it would have been nice not to know, because I think there would have been a certain shock factor. But then again, I don't know. But yeah, I found it very arresting viewing indeed, actually. Even sort of by today's standards. I mean, it's not that old. It's, what, 23 years old?
God, don't say that. Is it really that old now?
Yeah.
Holy
1995.
Shit. Oh my God.
No, I know. It does. It feels more modern than that, probably. Yeah. But
starring two alleged sex pests. Now.
Oh really?
Morgan Freeman, not Brad Pitt.
Okay.
I don't. That's alleged.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was going to say yeah.
Accused, but not confirmed.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Is Spacey's name above there? Because I'm sure I read one of his back when he was an innocent sex pest. Well, he didn't know, basically. I'm sure he took the role saying, "Don't put my name on the poster. Don't advertise me, otherwise everyone will know."
No, I did. I know. I'm fairly certain I didn't know he was in it at all.
Right.
Because
I wouldn't have watched it. No, not really. No, watch his films. I don't care.
He's only. I'd certainly say it's from the halfway point, if not only the last third.
I'd say it's fine.
It was one of those films where, so when it was released, I would have been 10 years old, and it would have been one of those sorts of films that people talked about, like, oh, have you heard, it's this horrendously violent film, that sort of thing. And I must admit, you know, some of the depictions of things were very full on, but I just thought it was quite a well-written, you know, it's a way of, I guess, spicing up is probably the wrong term, but a police procedural kind of thing.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Played a huge role, I think, in the Saw films.
Do you think?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Okay. not so much the first one, but subsequently, in fact, no, even the first one.
Because it's sort of like a punishment thing.
A punishment thing, yes, and you've got the police procedural running through every single one of them. I recently actually watched, I wasn't going to, was it called Jigsaw? Yeah, the new one. Yeah. Was it this year or last year? I can't remember. But I watched it recently. I stopped it at about 20 minute points. I thought, oh no, because there was a kid in it. I thought, oh, I don't want to be involved in kids.
Yeah.
Spoilers, okay, the kid doesn't get involved. Actually, not as bad as I'd anticipated. Certainly not the travesty that was the last Saw film, Saw 3D or Saw 7 or whatever, which I thought was outright actively offensive. I'm offended. He's production just because Miles' sensibilities were offended. But no, I thought actually The Last Jigsaw was okay and kind of fun in a way. But Seven, I really enjoy it. I mean, it's not something you'd pop on every Sunday afternoon, is it? No. It certainly won't come up on our list later, I hope.
Have you got something?
We struggled the other night to watch a film. Sometimes I've gone to Scouse. to choose a film on Netflix, it took for ages. And finally, we just settled on something we've never even heard of, 1922.
Oh, yeah, is this something to do with Stephen King?
Oh, okay, you know, I thought you might, your bookworm, you. Yeah, so it's an adaptation of one of his books.
I think I only know that because on the advert it says Stephen King's 1922. All right, okay. Go on.
It was kind of an inversion of Delord's Claiborne.
Oh, right, okay.
Kiss my back cheeks. Yeah, very similar kind of plot, actually, in that it involves a spouse doing away with their partner. That's in the trailer, it's not a spoiler.
Hmm.
And then the ramifications of that, but it's, as I said, it's very much inverted. I thought it was terrific. And again, only about 90 minutes long. Take note, producers, because they are definitely listening.
Okay.
It's just really well done. It's not overly horrific, but it does have a certain sense of, you know, creeping dread. Copyright, I don't know, Fangoria, 1995. It's really, really good. The guy in it, oh, what's his name? He played the Punisher in the crappy, like, 2002 film with John Travolta. Doesn't matter.
Right.
But it's really very good. It's not too sensational or exploitative. I think it just deals quite well with the psychological defects of what this guy's done and how he reacts to it and what happens to him. And yeah, it's a good little movie that I think deserves to be watched.
Okay, I think I will definitely check that out because I love Stephen King and you kind of sold it there. So yeah, excellent. I wasn't going to mention this, but I rewatched Misery quite recently, speaking of Stephen King.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Kathy Bates, such a fantastic actress.
She's great, isn't
she? She nails that, like, I'm in love with you, but I'm going to kill you kind of thing. It's absolutely perfect. Yeah, really well played. And actually, this is the second time I watched it ages ago. This was only the second time I watched it, but quite a bit of time between. I noticed how tightly edited that film is. Very, very succinct. But also manages to convey a sense of time passing, particularly for James Caan's character.
But it is James Caan. I was thinking, is it James Caan? Sure it is.
Yeah. But anyway, that's old news, so I won't go on about that. But
that's fun, isn't it? Mm. There's something very different in that film than there is in the book, and I can't remember what it is.
Oh, well, I haven't read the book of it.
Oh, have you not?
No.
Is there a lawnmower bit in the film?
Nope.
There's a lawnmower bit in the book,
okay.
I think. Because I'm pretty sure I remember looking forward to that and it never came. It's like, oh.
No.
I think.
No, maybe definitely I made that up not. My head. It's snowing. I think it's snowing the entirety of the time.
Uh-huh.
No, wait. Does it become like spring towards the end? Oh, I can't remember.
Oh, who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah, ignorance meets this podcast.
I do also love Dolores Claiborne.
Yeah, I like that.
It's a brilliant film.
It's one of the only... Oh, it's a film? Oh, I think we've done this before, haven't we? Yeah. We've now got to the point where they're saying the same stuff.
Yeah.
I recently saw on the big screen, actually, two old films.
Oh, yes.
Lost Boys.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I was watching with Lisa, who'd never seen it,
mm.
Which was a great experience because she didn't really know what was coming, although she said later she did completely see where it was going, which was great. It's so steadfastly and resolutely 80s with a passion, that film.
You are talking to someone who also never, has not seen it.
I didn't think you would have done. But that's fine. Okay, well, vampire, 80s set, teen film, Kiefer Sutherland, The Corys, etc. Diane Wiest.
Although, weirdly, it's one of my mum's favourite films.
Oh.
Which is unusual. Well, I mean, I haven't watched it because she just wouldn't normally be into anything with a sort of like vaguely fantasy or horror edge to it.
Well, the horror thing is up front, but it's also not. I mean, it's easily my favourite Joel Schumacher film. I know there's not much to choose from.
I mean, well, what, not Batman Forever?
I don't know. I quite like Phone Booth. I like. Do I like 8mm? Do I? I probably do. I don't know. Not as keen on Falling Down as I think I should be. Anyway, Lost Boys on the big screen, fantastic, packed cinema, really good reactions, so much funnier than I actually remember, and just fun. And fuck me, it cuts to the chase. And not the time. There's no sort of... I mean, again, I go back to this point so often, so many modern films are too fucking long. And I think writers just get run away with the idea that their stories are so important they can't possibly miss out points, they can't do succinct storytelling. And as a result, every single page is filmed and then put out. I just don't understand the need for it. But this, it also makes, almost by modern standards, The Lost Boys makes a few assumptive leaps, but you're able to catch up with it because we're not idiots and we can just follow the story logically and progressively. It seems very short space of time from which a character does something and then the results of that are very much in effect. I think in a modern film, you'd have much more connective tissue between those scenes. But it doesn't need it. Anyway, it's terrific. I think The Lost Boys, I sort of disconnected from that film, even though I could probably do every line. But it's great fun. Ghostbusters, which I watch almost every year, we saw on the big screen, didn't really work.
That's
really...
Why not?
Well, okay, so it was a sold-out screening in one of the smaller rooms. They moved it to the screen one, the massive one.
Didn't sell any more tickets.
No, didn't sell any more tickets. And there was a weird... atmosphere where only if there was you heard potted bursts of laughter at different points.
Yeah.
No one actually came together, but there wasn't a community atmosphere for it. And it is a weird film. I think I finally decided, because I've always had that thing from childhood, because I'm a child of the 80s, what's your favourite mid-80s film? Is it Back to the Future? Is it Ghostbusters? Having watched Back to the Future recently with my family, it's very definitely that. It's almost a perfect film. In fact, it probably is. I know it's a lot of exposition and payoff and it's sort of circular storytelling. That's fine, because it's time travel. Cat's gone mad. But Ghostbusters has a weird kind of tone to it and a weird atmosphere. And it's a bit... I don't want to say creepy, because that would seem to work as a ghost. But it's not that. It's quite stilted and peculiar.
Mm.
And Bill Murray's character, he is funny, but he's also a bit of a pest. And he's a bit odd. And I can now see him from... Dana's point of view, he's just a fucking weirdo and he's a bit annoying and he is funny and there are bits that I love the film still. It just didn't work and I came away thinking, well, that was quite sad. It's quite interesting to have that experience though, to see a film on the big screen and think, Didn't work as well as I thought it would.
Yeah.
I'd only ever seen it on telly.
That's a shame.
Yeah. But fine, they're fine. I enjoyed the experience nonetheless.
Weirdly, the film that I went to the cinema to see, and it was on the in the main screen, and it was the least well attended I think that I've ever been to the cinema, was La La Land. The
Okay.
You know, the sort of critically acclaimed blockbuster kind of thing. And I mean, I was fine with that because it was obviously it was the first time I was seeing the film, but so I didn't think it particularly took anything away. And also, a full with a film of that tone, I don't think a full room would have added to the atmosphere of it particularly, because it's not sort of played for laughs or anything like that. But I can't think of anything I've gone to see, because it's not an opportunity you get very often to see a film that you love in the cinema, and it's not going to be well attended.
No.
So I guess it's just an odd set of circumstances.
They did quite a few around Halloween, which I wasn't aware at all, because he had the chap who does the big screen things. He went to a few of them. He did Night of the Living Dead, which is a bit of a cheat because that's public domain. You can show that wherever you like. I can broadcast it onto a teaspoon outside my house and charge people. No, it was a fuck up with the copyright.
Oh, right, okay.
It's got no copyright on it.
Oh, really?
It's, yeah, one of George, not George Lucas, what's he called?
George Romero.
George Romero's, yeah, biggest failings, I think, in life is that he never copyrighted his own fucking film. Bless him. There is like a 30th anniversary edition where they film a few new scenes and put it in, I think from... Oh, who scripted it? I can't remember now. From the scriptwriter. It's dreadful. It's unwatchable. We saw Predator together, remember?
Oh, yes. God, was that that long ago?
Ages ago, yeah. That was great fun.
That was amazing. Yeah, that was really good. And that was, again, that was full. It was sold out, but it was in screen 4. So to anyone who's local will know that that's the largest of the smaller screens.
Yeah.
It's possibly my favourite screen to see things on, actually, because it always feels like the screen is massive in front of you, even if you're kind of sat right at the back. Yeah, that was fantastic, you know, to see. And everyone was sort of buzzing off of it as well. And again, to see one of those, you know, Predator is one of those sort of films that coming up to what we're going to be talking about later, I kind of, weirdly given the subject matter, I consider it like a feel-good film.
Yeah.
Because it's just uplifting. It doesn't take itself too seriously.
No.
And
it's got those closing credits with everyone smiling at the camera with their names like a Jimmy Perry, David Cross sitcom.
Yeah.
You've been watching.
Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. And it's got Jesse Ventura wearing an MTV t-shirt in it all the way through.
Brilliant. Sexual Tyrannosaurus.
Yeah.
Cat, stay away from Kit's lovely clothes.
They're not lovely.
And the piano. That's not cheap. Fucker.
I'm not bang up to date on it.
Okay.
I watched the first three.
Mm-hmm.
Really enjoyed all of them.
Mm.
Even though you thought the second one...
The second one was a bit boring.
Sagged a bit. But I thought the first one was an excellent new introduction to the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
The third one I thought was bloody brilliant. The Rosa Parks episode.
I had to watch that with other people and hold it together.
Yeah,
so I
like...
just end up blubbing.
I know. But it was just masterfully written. And it really kind of enraged me as well, which was brilliant. I didn't watch the fourth one because I don't like spiders.
I hate spiders and it terrified me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably going to be leaving that one. I watched the fifth one, and which was the one where they're kind of stuck on a medical spaceship.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't particularly like it.
I thought you might because I didn't like it.
Oh, did you not? Okay.
I found it really boring.
I found it a bit dull,
actually,
and didn't really see the... point of it, and thought they kind of tried to pull it all together at the end. Also, I hate even though this one was like a bad guy, I hate cutesy little animated characters
like Nibbler.
Yeah,
basically.
Just fuck off.
I think you'll like the latest one though.
Oh, okay.
The India one.
Oh, good.
I thought it was really good. It's along the similar lines to the Rosa Parks one, but not quite.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I just like the way it's been shot. I like the sort of grounded... I know it's silly to talk about Doctor Who in terms of grounded, but the characters themselves are grounded. I really like her. She's fantastic. And it just strikes me now how silly the whole debate about having a female Doctor has been.
Yeah.
When's the Doctor ever relied on having a cock?
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
Never.
I do like the way they kind of... They haven't... Weirdly... not weirdly at all. It is almost like an ignorable
factor.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the way they should do it.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, ultimately the point they're trying to make. Oh, stupid BBC leftist agenda, blah, blah, blah. All that bullshit. It's just really good. And I got to say that, I mean, the episode 5 kind of took the wind out of
what does your angry right winger sound like a Vic Reeves character?
Episode 5 kind of took the wind out of myself a little bit, but I got after having watched the first 3, I was very firmly in the camp of this is the most emotionally engaged I've been by Doctor Who since the kind of Russell T Davies, David Tennant stuff.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I did love Series 10. Remember we liked that one with Capaldi and Bill, but it was still sort of wrapped up in that slightly exaggerated, not fairy tale, but a disconnect, I think, really, in terms of its aesthetics and the way it's presented and its sort of fast-moving slickness, really.
I think the last few series, for me, I mean, obviously, you know way more about Doctor Who than I do, but for me, the last few series have been a sci-fi show that has, you know, one foot in the emotional humanity sort of side of things, whereas again, those first couple of reboot series were very much in that this is a programme about the human condition, which also happens to be a sci-fi programme.
Yeah, that's terrifically put.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Right. Well, I've got nothing else. You?
Yeah, I just want to talk about a couple of other things.
Go for it.
I watched 2 Nicholas Winding Refn films.
You like him, don't you?
Yeah, I've talked about them before, but I just wanted to mention the fact that because I rewatched the Neon Demon. And I also watched Bronson, which I hadn't watched.
Oh, I really want to see that. I did not know that was him, though.
Yeah, but yes, exactly.
Ah.
That's the thing, because what I was thinking was, some episodes ago, I talked about that I watched the Pusher trilogy by Nicholas Winding Refn, which is like gritty, Scandi crime sort of thing.
Right.
And then if you were to watch that and then watch his most recent film, The Neon Demon, you would think, these aren't directed by the same person, because they're so different, and obviously they're 20 years apart from each other. But I think Bronson is the halfway point between these films.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because it's got that gritty, horrible, I'm a fighter sort of thing, but also it's got these elements of where you just almost overacting, where it kind of takes a character out of a scene, and it's almost like they're kind of talking to the audience, and there's a... you can hear the internal music of that character, and he sort of started doing stuff with lighting, like neon lighting, not to the same extent that he does with his more recent films, but it's like there were hints of it, and this really is, if you look at this in terms of his body of work, it seems like a transitional film to me, and I thought that was quite interesting. But yeah, you should definitely watch it, I think. It's a very strange film, but it's good.
I thought it was more of a straightforward biopic, apparently. Well, I always want to say biopic, but apparently you're not supposed to say that.
Yeah, really? Okay. Hmm. Some people say theatre.
Oh, get out.
Yeah, like quite a few people say
Why do they say that?
Don't know.
They're silly.
Don't know.
They probably say aluminum as well. or a hyperbole.
Yeah.
All right, well, I might watch that. I kind of want to watch the Neon Demon again. now that I know what it is.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't prepared for it before. I wasn't sure what I was going to get. And I was like, oh, this is not what I was expecting whatsoever.
I enjoyed it on the first viewing, but I much preferred it on the second viewing.
Okay.
I got into it more, and I found, I found it much more of a well-rounded film on second viewing, whereas the things that stood out to me on the first were the sort of the visually arresting scenes and the sort of scenes which... I thought, oh, he's playing that for shock value, and then maybe I've reconsidered that opinion. I like the Neon Demon.
Is Christina Hendricks in that one as well?
She's in Drive, isn't she? She's the modelling agent.
Who tells her to say 19 or whatever. Yeah, okay, cool. And it's the same film that, what's it called? Keanu Reeves is in.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's really good in it.
Yeah, he's the letting agent, that's what you are.
What is he, like a car park attendant or motel?
Motel attendant? Yeah, I don't know what they're called, but yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah, I'm going to rewatch that one. Yeah. I've got a spare, I don't know, what is it? That's quite short, isn't it?
I think it's only an hour 40 at tops.
Yeah. Cool.
All right, should we move on? Like, you've got a quiz for me, apparently, haven't you?
I've done a quiz for you,
let's
yeah.
Let's move to that section now. Don't let me, this making this banana put you off,
Tom. I want you to make direct eye contact with me the entire time.
What?
My else is currently filleting a banana.
Do you know what? I'm such an arrogant wanker. I just thought, it's a shame I'm not gay because I'd be brilliant at blowjobs. Brilliant. You're all missing out. Right, go on then.
You've weirdly set the tone for my quiz.
Okay, excellent. What is it?
Okay, it's a patent rip-off of a quiz you did for me ages ago, but I thought you might appreciate, you know, being on the other end of this shit stick. But yeah, it's a quiz that I like to call Porn, Vaughn, or Round the Horn.
Oh, this is great.
So, yeah, these are, to use the old mechanism, I've compiled some comments from either Porn,
yes,
or Vince Vaughn, or Round the Horn. So it's the comments section from either a pornographic video or a video which features Vince Vaughn on like YouTube or Daily Motion or something like that, or a video of Round the Horn, and people are commenting on that.
Round the Horn had like
Kenneth Williams and stuff. Et al.
Mm-hmm. And the goodies and that lot.
Yeah, that is that sort of 1960s radio drama sort of thing. So I'm going to read out a comment and you're going to tell me whether it's from Porn, Vaughn, or Round the Horn.
Oh, I like this. Okay,
number one. Nalan Raki says, just the tip.
Okay, just the tip. So this could be from a Vince Vaughn clip, like about like some sort of film he's done, and that's the one that the punchline, because a lot of people like to replay. They write the punchline in, don't they? And then everyone likes it. But I'm going Porn, obviously. Is it Porn?
You're going Porn.
I'm going Porn.
It's Vaughn.
You were
exactly correct. It's something that he says in one of his films. I can't remember which one, but anyway.
Why don't you go on my gut instinct? That's stupid.
I don't know. Oh, well, that's a shame.
Oh, I've got egg in my face.
Yeah.
Better egg than jizz.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Okay, so number two.
Mm-hmm.
Fanautical says, how did they ever get away with it?
Ooh. Oh, well, that'd be Horn.
Yeah, Round the Horn. Yeah. Correct. Okay.
Contextually, contextualising the 60s blue content. Mm-hmm. At least for that era. Okay, fine. Yeah, okay. Excellent. Right, okay, one.
So you've got one. Brilliant.
Back on. I mean, technically I got the first one.
No, you didn't.
For fuck's
sake. That's like writing your working out in a maths exam.
Yeah.
Maybe half a point.
Yes.
I don't know. I'll see.
Yeah, I'll take that. Thank you. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. number three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ratcheter says, Red Dead Redemption 2 is good.
Right. I know for a fact. This is going to be Porn. Right. Okay, look.
Have we been watching the same porn videos?
No. I may have seen some porn online. I don't, may have not. But some people who comment on porn are fucking funny.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got to a point where I'm like, do I create an account? Some of this stuff is gold. Yeah. Some of the comments on porn are very funny. And I totally unexpectedly, I didn't think people who did that would have such wit. Yeah.
So you're going porn.
We're getting porn.
Correct. Yes, it is, of course, for porn, and you'll find out why later.
Do I get to know what the video is?
We'll discuss that in detail.
Oh, fair.
Okay, so number four. Peacehide says, he's the same guy in every movie.
Ooh. Oh, that's Vaughn.
Yeah, of course it is.
Well, I don't know, it could be something like about whoever. I don't know the names of any male porn actors. My wife's so not listening to this episode.
Oh, you just wait till in a minute. Okay, where are we? So number five,
mm-hmm.
Hawkmoon 03111951 says,
that's a shit username, isn't it?
Sunday's at 2 o'clock, if I remember rightly.
That's Horn.
It is indeed.
Yeah.
Because it's obviously been written by someone whose only interest is reminiscing in the past.
Thanks, Hawkeye.
Why has he done that? Seriously? Is that like binary code for I'm a wanker or something?
I would imagine that he rather... I'd imagine it's probably his birthday. Because it says 03111951.
Oh, okay.
So he, like an idiot, has put a piece of identifiable data as his username online.
And he likes MASH.
Yeah. What a dick. Number six. See if you can guess what this is from.
Okay.
Master Pussy Boy says, this went 0-100 on this dick. Looked like a f***ing bobblehead where she was flopping her head on the dude. Bitch damn near broke the couch with that shit. This nigga laying there like she's gonna chop his damn dick off. Hungry, hungry hippo's ass, bitch.
Oh my god!
Dude looked like he was in a bouncy castle where she was rocking the damn sofa. Bitch looked like she was trying to crack her forehead on they poor nigga.
Oh my god! What are you watching? Oh! I've never thought of it like hungry, hungry hippos. But it so is.
Oh my god. So, what do you think that might be from?
Well, it's a tricky one, isn't it?
Yeah.
But my gut instinct.
Round the horn?
Takes me to porn.
Yeah.
Oh.
Correct!
That's amazing. I'm so glad you sat there with a pen and paper transcribing this.
Yeah, I did think about typing it out, but then I thought, don't want that on any document on my computer. There we go. Yeah, and so as discussed earlier, that was from the video, a video entitled, He Tries to Play Red Dead Redemption 2 While She Plays With His Cock.
All right, okay. That's a very modern produced video then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Blimey, that's bang up to date, that is.
So, there we go.
Was that the last one?
That was it, yeah.
I'm enjoying that.
You scored...
I got 5.5.
5 out of 6.
That's brilliant. I know my horn from a pawn.
Yeah, so, well done.
Thank you very much.
You win a banana skin.
Yay! And a bucket of porn.
It's the main event.
Ding, ding, ding. It's your main event. Well, it's not. It's just the question of the week, I guess. Whatever you call it. The week. Like we do this on a weekly basis. Question of the season.
So, what are we discussing?
We need cheering up as a nation.
Yes.
I like to think of this as the safe space podcast away from political events.
Yeah.
Exterior to our nonsense chat. So let's not talk about that.
That.
But I think we all need cheering up. So I asked the question, what film slaps a big silly smile across your face and can cheer you up no matter what? And boy, did you lot reply. I thought one, maybe two a piece, but apparently not. No, we got lots. And that's not saying I'm not grateful. Thank you very, very, very much. But good grief, we got a lot to get through. I did fill it a bit. I haven't put every answer down because fucking hell, I haven't got all the time and nor have our listeners.
After you put it up online, I saw it after... It said that you'd posted the comment 45 minutes ago, and there were already, I think, 42 replies by that point. I thought, I know where this is heading, so I'm not surprised you've cut it down to size. So don't be offended if yours isn't in there. It's just that we don't have a 3-hour runtime.
Did you want to say yours first?
You might be able to guess what mine is, because I'm sure I have mentioned it in the past.
Do I listen to you? I hear you, but do I listen? No.
Life moves pretty fast if you don't stop and look around once in a while.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I love Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Do you know, I didn't know you'd like that.
Yeah, I love it. I adore it. Definitely. For so many reasons. I mean, there's a certain, the very premise of the film, there's a certain joy in doing something that you're not supposed to do, like take a day off school and explore.
Or rape.
Yeah, well, exactly.
I'm sorry, I'm going to cut that. Hold on. Hashtag me too. I can't put jokes like that in anywhere. Sorry, go on. Sorry.
This film exudes fun and cheerfulness and joy. And there's a few scenes that I just love in it. I particularly love the scene in the art museum. there's a scene where Cameron's looking at the painting, they're playing, the Smiths is playing, please, 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 let me get what I want. And it kind of cuts between the two faces and keeps closing up, the camera gets closer and closer. I absolutely adore that bit. From start to finish, gives me that warm, fuzzy glow.
Save Ferris. Yeah. It is a good film, I do like that. And it's got that chicka-chicka song in it. And who doesn't like that?
Exactly.
Yeah. Is that the only one? You only had one then?
I just went for one. Well, I mean, there are excellent. More, but...
Yeah. I went for two, sorry.
Okay.
I mean, one of them's just my favourite film of all time, which is Genevieve, directed by Henry Cornelius, 1950, can't remember.
Why am I only just learning this information?
Well, I didn't know you liked Ferris Bueller.
Okay.
Well, I don't go on about Genevieve too much, because it's not really within the remit of the show or anything like that. It's just a utterly joyful, beautiful piece of filmmaking that's very cute and sweet and very funny and actually quite cutting and still amusing, you know, all these decades later. And it just makes me happy. That's why I like it. And the ending always makes me cry. Because he's doing something for someone else and sacrificing his own happiness for her. Oh, it's just gorgeous. And the kid drops an ice cream. Anyway, I don't want to go over that. Genevieve is lovely. It's a beautiful film. And also, just for the sheer lols, Octopussy. I do love Octopussy. It just cheers me up. It's dumb and silly and starts with a horse's arse.
Do you know, weirdly, if I was going to choose a second film, it didn't spring to mind straight away, but a film that I've watched loads when I just want something that makes me feel good is You Only Live Twice.
Ah, yeah, there we are.
Because it's just, again, it's sort of fun nonsense, really. Yeah. But yeah.
So there's my two.
Ah, brilliant.
So let's get on with the reason. There's several comments by several different people, and I've tried to collate them, and we'll just go along and see what happens. There's one film mentioned quite a few times, and I think it's pretty much far away the winner. I don't like it.
Oh, okay.
I'll talk about it in a bit, but...
Well, let's see what, yeah.
I don't know. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure.
Go on.
So, Barnaby Sultan says, Antichrist. He's joking, of
He's
course.
Joking. I had to turn that off. It made me depressed.
Yes. Daleks Invasion Earth, 2150 AD.
Good hangover film.
The Princess Bride. Moonraker, The Karate Kid, Stardust, Harvey, Top Secret, Superman 2, This is Spinal Tap.
I love most of those films. I don't know what Harvey is other than Katie Price's son. I've never heard of Harvey.
Harvey, so it's got some line about it in it, something like, you can be oh so clever or oh so pleasant or something like that. I can't remember, but anyway.
It's not like Simple Jack or whatever from...
No.
Like Tropic Thunder. Okay. It's not Patch Adams. Herbert West says, Airplane, The Sting, The Three, and The Four Musketeers, and Lake Placid.
Yeah, I mean, Airplane I definitely would agree with.
I enjoy Airplane. Never as funny as I'd like it. Although I do like the bit where they take it in turns to slap them. All right. Actually, Airplane does get a pass because that's very funny. can I just say that before we get into it more, Princess Bride, that's the one I don't like that I feel I should like because everyone my age loves it.
Oh, okay.
Which I'm never connected to. I watched it as a kid when you should enjoy these things.
It's got Andre the Giant in it.
Exactly. It's got Andre the Giant. It's got one of the most famous wrestlers of all time. It's got Peter Cook in, who is one of my comedy heroes. It's got Fred Savage, isn't it? Who doesn't love that little boy from The Wonder Years? I don't know what it is about. I find it a bit boring.
I do like The Princess Bride.
Everyone does it better than me. I know I'm wrong on this, but I don't like it. Soz.
The Princess Bride. By S. Morgenstern. Chapter 1. Buttercup was raised on a small farm in the country of Florin. Our favorite pastimes were riding a horse and tormenting the farm boy that worked there. His name was Wesley. But she never called him that. Isn't that a wonderful beginning?
Yeah, it's really good.
Anyway,
Darren Floyd says, where to start? AD 72, obvs, with Nell and I. Shawshank, This is Spinal Tap, Bride of Frankenstein, The Bride of Funkenstein.
I don't know what The Bride of Funkenstein is, but I think no. I want to watch it. Now, Russell Parker comes in with, I think you know my answer. And I do know, actually, he doesn't put it there, but it is, of course, the catastrophically bad, but also slightly brilliant, canon film, The Apple.
The apple is the forbidden fruit.
Come and take me and shape me and mold me and make me and fill me up with your fire. Come do anything to me, your little heart desires.
Ooh, I've never been so high in my life.
Now, a special experience in movie-going entertainment. The Apple. Ah!
we recorded a piece on, we were going to start a new regular thing called Russell's Rubbish, and I don't mean Russell himself is rubbish, I meant the things he's talking about is rubbish.
Yeah.
I love it when I explain a joke. Stuart Lee stuff. But unfortunately I botched the audio, so that never happens. Soz. But yeah, the Apple, it's fucking bonkers, but you've got to wear a BIM.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. You know when you think, oh, this film's going to be crap, and people go, oh, this film's a bit rubbish, and people watch it, and it becomes a cult classic. Honestly, I cannot believe everything that happens in that film.
Alan Graham says, Singing in the Rain.
Yay.
Yay. Yeah. Like a bit of Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Have I seen Singing in the Rain?
Is that Rodgers and Hammerstein?
Probably not. I don't know.
Do you know what? It's probably not. Now I sound like a dick.
Neil Perryman says, a Serbian film. He's joking.
Yes.
No, wait, Dumbo. No, serious answer. Holy Grail never fails to make me happy. What's your favourite Monty Python film?
It's Meaning of Life.
That's mine.
Yeah.
You're not allowed it. That's mine. Why
Which
is that?
I thought it was, as the phrase goes, much maligned. Because it's not Life of Brian or Holy Grail.
No.
But I really like it. I adore it, in fact. Yeah. And for many reasons, but... Mm. Particularly the scene where the waiter leads someone through a field for about 4 minutes and then tells them to fuck off.
That's great.
Yeah. Colin Hicks says, Clue.
Trey Clemister says, Without a Clue. Are they related? I don't mean the people, I meant the film.
Clue is the like film Cluedo of Cluedo.
Thing. Yeah, I've seen that a few times. It's got, is it Tim Curry in it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I like that. Without a Clue's the one with Michael Caine playing, I think, like Sherlock Holmes or something. Maybe that's the one he's talking about. I think I had the poster on my... I used to go to the video store back in my day and just ask them for posters they were no longer using and put them on the wall, just by the fact I'd never seen the films. I love films so much, I want the posters of films I'm never going to watch.
That's awesome.
I don't know if I ever got around to watching Without a Clue, but I had the poster, damn
you
it.
You were the original hipster. John Paul says, Amelie.
Oh.
Whiskey galore, and if you need to ask, then I'm going to block you. Fury Road. Why would anyone need to ask what Whiskey Galore is?
I know what it is. It's the one with Schwarzenegger goes back in time just to kill Sarah Connor. Yeah? Andy Casey says Castaway.
Bit depressing, I thought. Would have thought for a feel-good film.
I like Tom Hanks much more than I used to, but the idea of just like 90 minutes of Tom Hanks on his own back in the day would have... Have me opening a vein.
I like the film Castaway, but I wouldn't put it in the feel-good category necessarily.
No. Fine, fair enough. If that's what makes him happy, that's what makes you happy. Then it can't be that bad. If that makes you happy, then why the hell are you so sad? Because you're watching Castaway. James Tyrrell says Clue, film. I know it's a film.
I don't know why he thinks we wouldn't think it was a film in this context.
Fair enough. Airplane and Big Trouble in Little China.
Okay, excellent.
Cool.
Vincent Lauzon.
Hey,
hi, Vincent. Hey! Says Conan 1982.
Okay. Is that the one where he punches the horse?
I don't know. I've only seen the first one. I'm assuming we're talking about. Is it something Conan in the Conan the Barbarian series?
I guess it is. Maybe he means Conan the Barbarian.
Because to make sure they haven't.
They remade it.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks for the clarification, Vinny.
We just made up a film in our minds. Barbarian is great.
Paul Barrington says, this is more the sort of thing I thought people would say. Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, or The Naked Gun?
I'm not huge on the Ace Ventura films, but I do love The Naked Gun.
Yeah, I love Naked Gun. Ace Ventura, I've only seen the first one.
Claire Sansom says, Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, I love Shaun of the Dead. I still love Shaun of the Dead. I watch specific clips, because these days, I mean, I know it inside out, but I will watch different bits of clips, especially the, why have we got to get Liz? Because I love her. All right. Gay. It just encapsulates that sort of schoolboy feeling towards any emotion whatsoever. It's just a brilliant film. Still love it. Herbert West says, again, we said already happened. Oh, fine. Young Frankenstein, High Anxiety, The Italian Job. What's High Anxiety?
I don't know. I don't know what that is.
A fun romp, isn't it?
Yeah, Tangle's fun.
Oh, he's back again. He says Master and Commander.
Barnaby Sultan says Bedazzled.
I assume he means the Cooker Moore version and not the Bradley and Liz Hurley version. But maybe he does. Maybe he loves the Liz Hurley. What's the guy called again? Brad something?
I've got no idea.
He was in George of the Jungle and other things. He's in the Mummy films, isn't he? I was going to say Bradley Walsh, but obviously not Bradley Walsh.
Yeah, that guy, I don't know what his name is, but I know. He's got eyebrows, isn't he? He's got dark hair.
Dark hair, curtains, 90s curtains. He's got dark hair. Paul Kirkley says, "It's a Wonderful Life. I know, crazy." That does cheer people up.
Yeah.
You watched it, didn't you, last year?
I only watched it for the first time last year and very much enjoyed it.
All right. Me and Lisa have agreed to watch it this Christmas.
Okay.
But it's quite long, isn't it, for an oldie?
Yeah, I'd say it's over 2 hours, definitely. It's good, though. Paul Jennings says, "Carry On Up the Khyber, The Lady Killers, The Cannonball Run."
They're all fun films.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. Okay, I'm letting that go. Cliff Chapman says, "With Nell and I." With Nell and I, does it cheer me up? No, it's quite depressing. I watched it, did I ever tell you, I watched it with an American friend of ours. We did sort of a cultural exchange. He showed us, I can't remember what, and then we showed him With Nell and I, and he sat through it, stony silence throughout the entirety of the film. And as the credits rolled at the end, you know, he's just walking away. He said, "Gee, I guess that's the British sense of humour then." Okay, you didn't enjoy With Nell and I.
The first time I watched With Nell and I didn't like it. And then I watched when I was absolutely wrecked with some friends once. And then I was like, and it kind of clicked. But yeah. It's that sort of film, I guess.
Yeah. Transformers 1986. Is that the one with Marlon Brando in?
I don't know.
Yeah, probably. Wall-E, Lion King, Spaceballs, Star Wars New Hope, Star Trek 4, 6 and 8. And Princess Bride, again. Transformers 4, is that The Voyage Home? It might be.
8 is First Contact.
Yeah, I think it is. And 6 is The Undiscovered Country, I think.
Yeah. That's okay. Very specific.
Star Trek 4, if that is The Voyage
it's
Home.
The one with the whales.
The whales, yeah. That is a lot of fun.
It's got that, what does Kirk say? He says something like, he took a lot of LDS in the 60s or something like that.
Oh, right, yeah.
Or, I can't remember, he says something instead of LSD.
Yeah.
And it just looks like it. But I do like that one. I mean, I like Undiscovered Country as well.
Yeah, I like that.
I think a lot of people seem to slag that off, yeah. I adore First Contact.
I haven't seen it.
But my favourite Star Trek film with the original cast is Wrath of Khan.
I think that's pretty much taken. Really, really good one. Yeah. That's good. Go on then.
Paul Jennings again says, the Rutherford Miss Marple films. I mean, I know she's dead wrong as Miss Marple, but she's also dead right.
Mostly wrong. I mean, have you ever seen her as Miss Marple? Oh my God. It's like, because most people imagine Joan Hickson, the archetypal Miss Marple, this cute, slightly mysterious glint in her eye, mysterious old lady, lets people talk themselves into situations. Rutherford is just this angry bag lady who's like twice the size of a wrestler. It's just weird. Fair enough. John Sykes says, quite a lot, It's a Wonderful Life, Ferris Bueller, there you go.
Yay.
You. Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, Labyrinth, oh, I love Labyrinth, that does cheer me up, Flash Gordon, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Back to the Future, Stand By Me, Dazed and Confused, Waking Life, The Life Aquatic and Amelie.
I really like Stand By Me and Back to the Future, I mean, when you mentioned it earlier, so yeah, this one's a good list for me. Dazed and Confused, if I do see that, it just makes me want to watch American Graffiti, which is like the Dazed and Confused 20 years earlier sort of thing. But Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, do you mean like the as in the filmed concert?
Yeah, I guess that's what you mean. Yeah.
That's brilliant, but odd.
That's a
choice.
Yeah, can't go putting gigs in there.
Ruth Ann Stern says Real Genius or Princess Bride. I don't know what Real Genius is.
In my head, it's a Val Kilmer comedy, but okay. I might be wrong. Ben Forbes says, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. He's gone for the Bogus Journey rather than the Amazing Adventure.
I didn't think that anyone would ever choose Bogus Journey over Excellent Adventure, but there we go.
Uh-huh. Jennings Paul, you've had enough, but I'm going to read it anyway, because Hot Shots and Hot Shots Part 2, they are both very fun and silly.
Charmaine Lovett says, Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit. Again. Why the sequel? The
Yeah, I always laugh at Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit, because it's the sort of thing that's only funny to me, because I watched a girl on a TV quiz show get an answer to a question spectacularly wrong with the answer Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit, and she was so confident, and the fact that she said the little suffix the Back in the Habit Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit.
What was the question?
I have no idea. I think it was just like, name a Whoopi Goldberg film that isn't a Sister Act film. Don't think it was that. Okay, James Hellier says Superman the Movie, North Sea Hijack, Flash Gordon, The Three Musketeers, The Four Musketeers, Overboard, As Good As It Gets, Weekend at Bernie's. solid bunch, I'd say.
Yes. I got nothing to add to that. Really.
I like North Sea Hijack. It's another Roger Moore film where he plays a slightly different character. Well, actually, he plays an angry, beardy man who likes smoking.
Is As Good As It Gets.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not. That's the other one, isn't it?
What?
Kathy Bates in a swimming pool.
What? As Good As It Gets is Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
And a dog. And is it Helen Hunt?
I'm thinking of about Schmidt.
Oh, right, yeah. I turned that off about halfway through.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't like it at all.
Okay.
Have you watched it then?
Yeah.
All right, what happens?
Can't believe it's huge spoilers.
I don't care. Nor do I listen.
It's been so long since I watched the film. So it goes through it again, some more sort of like either depressing or kind of, you know, like black comedy, comedically. Mm-hmm. Downfall sort of situations, and then the very final scene of him is he receives a letter back from
Boo Boo, whatever it's called,
and it's sort of him like crying with emotion at the end of it.
I'm glad I didn't fucking say it to the end. Problem was, right, we were watching it with someone who'd recently been told that they could have a brain fucking clot or something like that. And in the first reel, life dies of a brain clot or something. We're like, oh, God, why? And we'd spent about an hour at the bloody video store choosing this fucking film as well. We turned it off and watched Phoenix Knives instead. Cheered him up more.
Well, is it very much, that kind of reminds me about when I was talking about Ferris Bueller earlier. One of my colleagues once asked me to, she was in the situation where there was sort of family illness that wasn't going to end well, and right. She was like, can you recommend a film that's cheerful? And that made me think of this because it's the exact topic, and I said watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off because then she's like, I can't find that, think of something else, and off the top of my head I was like, Groundhog Day, like, always cheers. She's like, there mustn't be any death in it, right? And like,
oh, like, he keeps killing himself.
I forgot, well, it's not that, because he comes back to life, but I forgot about there's a homeless guy that he interacts with who does die, and he has and she was like, why did you tell me about that? And I was
shit.
So but she did say, she was like, and then we kind of had the conversation that pretty much how, you know, however many percent of films work is, or any drama at all, is like conflict and resolution.
Absolutely.
It's very rare that you'll get an entirely sugar filled film or anything.
You're not going to watch Kittens on a Bouncy Castle for 90 minutes.
It's like, you know, even like, even The Land Before Time has got a sense of jeopardy in it.
You're right there. Speaking of which, Ralph Powers hits us with Sausage Party.
So, you have learned the terrible truth.
I gotta tell everyone.
Everything we believe is a lie.
What if the gods are doing this to us because we touched hips? Wasn't even that... I mean, it was fine. It's not like anyone writes home and says, oh, God, I had the best tip.
That looks awful.
Well, I watched the first 20 minutes the other night. It's a weird one. I was laughing because it's so stupid. And it's a cartoon where they swear.
Mm.
And Lisa was like, my wife was like, I'm not finding this funny, but I really want to know what happens. So we are going to finish it. But I don't know. I was quite enjoying it, to be honest. It's sort of dumb, witless nonsense. It's Seth Rogen as well, and I just sort of instinctively like anything he does, which I know I shouldn't.
Mm, okay.
Anyway, yawn, go.
it's
Dunky Dunk, not Duncy Dunk.
I misread it because the lighting here, I was about to say Duncy June.
Well, go on, read that one.
Okay, sorry. Dunky Dunk says, Shaft. Any Tarantino movie.
Really?
Really? Shawshank, Dark Knight, there's too many to choose from. Ooh, Die Hards, A Knight's Tale, Shoot 'em Up, there's loads.
Dark Knight is quite depressing.
I watched The Dark Knight the other night, and there's not... Okay, fair enough. Each to their own.
Doesn't uplift your soul, does it?
No.
No. It's like going to... Oh, God, have you ever been... It's happened a few times now.
No, I've never been to a strip club.
Okay, no, nor have I. I've been to a party where you've sort of been tangentially invited to someone else, and you go there, and then like with horror, as you step over the threshold, you're like one of about two or three people who've turned up. And that's it for all night. And it's like a party, it's a house party for only like one person who you don't even really know. And it's made worse by the fact that you're there. It's made worse by the fact that anyone's turned up. If no one had turned up, I don't think that would be so bad. But if like two or three, it's worse. It's awful. It's happened to me more times than I care to... Well, three times now.
I just don't like it.
I don't like it. I shiver when I think of those things.
I did once go to a gig, which was, well, it was a DJ night, and this guy I know had invited us. It was like a rock DJ night. So, guy I know had invited like a lot of people along, and obviously wanted to make it. And I went along, and I was again in, you know, small to medium-ish size club, was one of five people. And the problem was is that you then can't leave.
No,
because it's also involves like walking right in front of it, and it was like, oh man. So yeah, that was it. Was quite. I mean, it was fine, but it's like there was no atmosphere, and it was yeah.
Well, I've headline gigs like that, so I can't complain.
Yeah, so have I. It's true.
Where are we? Okay, so Martin Barrow says Beverly Hills Cop, Blazing Saddles, and Young Frankenstein.
I really like Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, that's fun. Blazing Saddles, okay. Young Frankenstein, I went to the cinema to see it twice, but I was a kid. I don't think I could stomach it now. That is... Oh, no, Young Frankenstein. Sorry, I was thinking of Young Einstein with Yahoo Serious. Young Frankenstein, that is that Mel Brooks?
Blazing Saddles is Mel Brooks. Yeah. So maybe I don't know, I haven't seen Young Frankenstein.
Oh, we're so ill prepared for this.
Go on then. Barbara Brown says, Short Circuit, A Knight's Tale. I like Short Circuit.
I like Short Circuit too. Lisa Hamer, I know her. Napoleon Dynamite, you already knew that. I did, and it does. Yeah, it does. That literally cheers her up.
Yeah.
That's a film, if she's a bit down, we can put it on, and it will cheer. It's just got a lovely tone to it, and I like the fact that not a lot happens. Although, it's one of those films where you don't think anything's happening, but everything stitches together perfectly at the end, and it's funny as all fuck. It really is.
Yeah. I really like Napoleon Dynamite. It's great. Mm. I was hating it for the first half of the first time I watched it, because the tone of it hadn't clicked.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it clicked in, I was like, this is genius. Yeah. Daniel Keyes says Mary Poppins, Coming to America, The Three Amigos.
The Three Amigos has one of my funniest scenes of all time in it.
Oh yeah,
it's the, have you seen Three Amigos? It's see, I'm thinking about that and I'm already laughing. When they are, there's no dialogue, they are going along the desert, an incredibly hot desert, and they all stop to take a sip of their water. And first of all, Martin Short tips his water thing upside down, just sand comes out on his face. Steve Martin has just a drip of water come out, and then Chevy Chase has tons of splash on his face. He washes his hand and then he chugs it in the desert. It's brilliant. It's sort of felt like I can just rewind that scene again and again and again. And the bush, and it sounds like a Jenna Biafra from the Dead Kennedys.
She'll be riding six white horses when she comes. She'll be riding six white horses, she'll be riding six white horses, she'll be riding six white horses when she comes.
Vincent Lauzon, again, says, The Dark Crystal, the first three Bourne, particularly the third. What, the one where he forces him to try and kill someone?
Bourne film.
That's your uplifting film.
Yeah, they don't feel very uplifting to me, but hey, whatever's good for the goose is good for Vincent Lauzon. James Gent says, Play It Again, Sam, and Tu Wong Fu, or do its full title, Tu Wong Fu. Thanks for everything, Julie Newmar. Yeah, I really enjoyed that film, actually. A cock and a frock and a rock. It's nice. Except the bit where they beat up the gays. That's quite depressing.
Go on, then. Awkward. Steve O'Brien says, Back to the Future always fills me with a warm glow. And any Carry On film takes me back to my summery childhood.
Aww. Even Carry On at Your Convenience. Not one of the top tier Carry Ons. I quite like it. It's about a toilet factory. Can you imagine?
Well, let's see. You're laughing, so.
Yeah.
There you go.
Peter Adamson says, As Good As It Gets, and The Princess Bride. Princess Bride, I think, far and away the top answer here.
Martin Brown says, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I really like that film.
I do really like that film. Dapper Dan, not Handsome Dan.
Well, I've got to say, I've listened to the soundtrack way more times than I've watched the film.
Mm-hmm.
Really good soundtrack.
Yeah, they're a weird one, aren't they? The I was going to say the Coen brothers. The Coen brothers, yeah. I do love some of their films, but other I can't. I just can't get on board with at all. But hey, you know, a huge body of work.
More often than not, will like their films. Mm-hmm. I hate Burn After Reading, but I really love Fargo. Miller's Crossing, No Country
for Old Men.
Yeah,
No Country for Old Men. Sorry, that's not doing it. Okay, Peter Cooper says Airplane. I don't know why I'm doing it in a Scouse accent. Yes, another vote for that. Awesome.
Mark Lamprey says Weird Science.
Oh, I do like Weird Science. The kid gets turned into a big poo. Avril Gaysford, what's up, Doc?
Hannah Gallagher Bell says, Hocus Pocus, Mary Poppins, The Princess Bride.
Stop loving on The Princess Bride, everyone.
Hocus Pocus is good as well. Like.
That's, is that with her off of singing?
Bette Midler,
yeah. She's a witch. Right.
That was me being a witch, by the way. I was gesticulating wildly.
You're playing bongos. Ivan Kirby says, Carry On Abroad. Is that the one on the boat where, like, the captain's a fucking pisshead?
Carry On Abroad, is that the one on the boat?
Yeah. Is it? There's one on the boat.
I don't know, I guess so.
Yeah, Mac Melby.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not actually terribly well-versed with the Carry On films.
No, we'll have to settle you down and make you watch all of them.
I'm sure that'll be great. Right.
Actually, going back, Steve O'Brien says, Any Carry On film takes back to my summer of childhood. Not, I assume, Carry On Columbus. Which was made in the 90s and was shit. Oh, it's really bad. It's one of my most embarrassing TV moments, is watching Barbara Windsor on The Word, where they interviewed her about, well, I don't know, whatever the fuck she was doing at the time. And then they mentioned Karen Cunningham. She said, oh no, it's blading awful, you know, rubbish. Julian Clary said opposite. He went, oh, thanks a lot, love. And she went, oh no, you were good in it. I was like, oh, why did you say that? Just double down, stick to your guns. Fuck. I've tried to find that clip because I remember at the time just burning with shame on behalf of her. Ashley Laycock says, Wayne's World. That is fun. I like Wayne's World.
I like Wayne's World. Yeah, I think it's great. David Renane says, Starship Troopers and The Shadow, perfect ironing films.
That's good, that.
Yeah.
I like ironing films, because I don't really iron, but if I do, I've got to have something going on, because fuck that, iron's boring.
I really like Starship Troopers. Great.
Yeah, it is fantastic fun. Herbert West says, Herbert, you've had loads. I'm not even... No, actually, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to read it out, and then... On the podcast, I'm gonna bleep it out. That's what you get for answering too much. This is, what am I doing to our listeners? Herbert West, you'll never know.
And Dean Hercum says Sophie's Choice, which is obviously a joke.
Well, it's kind of nice circular there because we started with Antichrist,
yeah,
and now Sophie's Choice.
Yeah, great. So some people try to be funny, but. You weren't. That's our job. or not, as the case may be.
I hope we're all cheered up now.
Yay!
After watching The Dark Knight. And the Bourne films.
Yeah.
What writer's chuckle fests they are. It's so hot in here.
I've cooled down a little bit, but earlier I was... Yeah.
It was melting.
Horribly hot.
Where's your top gone? It's the cat. It's the cat's taken it.
The cat has stolen. I stopped watching. She's. Hang on.
Shit.
Let's investigate. As long as it's not speared with shit, I'll be fine. You have appropriated my top.
Just pull.
Just laying next to it.
Oh, shit.
It's fine.
It's not, though.
It's fine.
Okay. Right, well, we're all happy. Yeah, so if you don't like any of these films, get a cat. Alright? If you can't get a cat, move somewhere that lets you have cats. Right, so this has been the Catcast. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back God knows when. Maybe sometime this year. Maybe not.
Maybe.
Hopefully. I would have thought so.
Yeah.
We've got 6 weeks or so left of 2018.
And I've got a lot of spare time.
Right, so you can do one on your own if you like.
The Kitcast.
Okay, well, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you around, won't we?
Yeah, we will.
Mwah. Bye!
This bitch went 0 to 100 on this n***'s dick. Bitch looked like a f***ing bubblehead where she was flopping her head on the dude. Bitch damn near broke the couch with that shit. This n***a laying there like she's gonna chop his damn dick off. Hungry, hungry hippo's ass, bitch.
Oh my god!
Dude looked like he was in a bouncy castle where she was rocking the damn sofa. She looked like she was trying to crack her forehead on day 4.
Oh my god.